This morning, I don't, for those of you that may not know me, I share, my name is Matt Downing, but I have incredible privilege of working with our students and families here, and I love what I get to do. I grew up in a family that we went to church every Sunday and grew up hearing the Bible stories that we all know and love. In fact, today, as we're looking at a one-off message, it's called Story. And what I want to do is I want to do a little poll here. I want to see from you guys, maybe many of you grew up in church as well, but I want to see what your favorite Bible stories are. Now, I looked, the Bible Society and a couple other sources had a top five, and I'm going to just go ahead and put this out there. Jesus' birth was number one, right? Okay. Jesus' birth and Jesus' death and resurrection. So we're gonna set those aside. Those are in a class all by themselves, of course, because without those, without Jesus and without what he went through, we wouldn't be here today. But I want to see from you guys what your favorite Bible stories are and see if you agree with this list. So as I share this list of the top five Bible stories, aside from Jesus' birth and Jesus' death and resurrection, I want to see if any of these would be your favorite. So in no particular order, let me just see, raise your hand if you would say Noah's Ark. It's probably your favorite Bible story. Okay, all right, a couple of you, okay. What about David and Goliath? Okay, a few of you guys, all right. Again, these were ranked by the Bible Society. But what about the Exodus, Moses and the Exodus? Okay, yeah, okay, all right. Daniel in the Lion's Den. Okay, got quite a few hands there. Joseph and his brothers. Joseph and his amazing dream coat, right? His color dream coat, okay? Yes, a lot of you. Okay, so we've grown up hearing these stories, and I'm wondering why maybe they're your favorites and my favorite. Like, why? What is it about these stories that we love? And maybe a lot of it has to do with nostalgia. I'm big on nostalgia, right? I love these things that I grew up with, and so maybe you grew up looking at the flannel graphs, too. Do we still do flannel graphs? No? Okay. Okay. So flannel graphs or nostalgia, whatever the case may be, these stories resonate with you. I think one of the things that resonates so deeply with us about these stories is the fact that in these stories, these are real men and real women that were used by God to do something extraordinary. These were ordinary people who did extraordinary things. But we look at these stories and we see these people as heroes, and they are heroes because they were faithful and obedient to God to do what God asked them to do. But who's the real hero of these stories? Come on, Sunday school answer. Jesus, God, right? The fact of the matter is that these were ordinary people who did extraordinary things because they had the power of an extraordinary God working in them and through them. Think about it. Without God, David didn't have a chance against Goliath. Without God, Moses wasn't leading the people out of Egypt. Without God, Daniel would have been dinner for lions, okay? Without God, these people would have been just ordinary people, but God is the one that did something extraordinary in these people and through these people. And I think that's part of what resonates with us, because we look and we see that, okay, I may be ordinary, but God can use anybody to do extraordinary things. And so each of us have a story. Now, when we hear these stories, these are great stories that we've grown up with, but we may think to ourselves, man, I wish I had a story like that. I wish I had a story that had that kind of drama and that kind of intrigue. I wish God would have done something like that in my life. And the fact of the matter is, we all have a story. And our life is telling a story that God started. See, we didn't choose when our story started, right? You didn't choose when you got to be born. You don't choose when your life ends. But if you think about like a tombstone, you've got the beginning date, you've got the end date, and then in between the beginning and end, you've got that dash. And that dash represents your story, your life story. What do you do with that life story? And a lot of us think that our life is our own, right? That it's our story. We get to do what we want to do. And while we definitely get to make choices that determine our outcomes, and we get to make choices that determine what we get to do. Ultimately, our story is God's story, where God has put us here for a time and a place, in a place for a purpose. And God has something that he is wanting to do with you and with your story. And I know that when we hear these big stories that we've grown up with, they seem extraordinary, but the fact of the matter is these are ordinary people, just like we are. And yet God wants to continue his work. God is continuing to write an overarching story, and part of that story involves his people. It involves you, and it involves me. And so we are merely just a part of a bigger picture of what God is wanting to do. And the fact of the matter is he is wanting to tell a better story with our lives than we ever could. We think that, okay, I want to end up doing this with my life, and I want to be this. And it may not always turn out the way that we thought when we were kids, right? Maybe your dreams and the things that you thought as a kid, life has just kind of sent you in different directions. And you looked at that and said, what have I made of my life, and what is my story actually telling? The fact of the matter is God can use your story for his glory. And God continues to use people, like what we see in Scripture, God continues to use people today. So I want to share this with you today, just a statement. We'll have this up on the screen as well. But we are all known by something. We're all known for something, and we all endorse something. I want you to think about that for just a minute. You can read that up there. But all of us are known by something. We are known for something, and we endorse something. You need to know that since the beginning of time, you also were created for something and for someone. This morning, we're going to be in Colossians. We're going to share a few passages, but our main focal passage this morning is going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to see this for yourself. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 15 through 20. And today, I want to help us understand that God is telling a story, and since the beginning of time, we have been created by something and for someone, okay? So Colossians 1, 15 through 20 says this, verse 15 through, I'll start with 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love that. We were created by Jesus. We were created by Jesus and for Jesus. According to what Paul says there in Colossians, that we have been created, and all things were made through Jesus, for Jesus. See, my life isn't about me, and your life isn't about you, but it's about God and what he's done for us. So today we're going to talk about our story and the bigger story God is trying to tell through us. First point I want to make this morning is that God is wanting to tell a story about who you are in him. So this whole thing about our story, God is wanting to tell a story about who you are in him. We were made in God's image. We were made in God's image by a loving God. We were made with purpose. We were made personally by God. His fingerprints are all over us. We were made for him, and we were made to know him. And so God has made us in his image. And because of Christ, we have been given a brand new life. So God has made us for himself, and he wants us to recognize our worth to him. He didn't just make us because he had to. He didn't just have some of his angels work on us while he did something else. Like, he personally knit us together and made us. But why? Why does God care so much? Why does God make such a big deal about humans? The fact that everything else that he made, he spoke into existence, but when it came to humans, he got his hands dirty and he made them in his image. How special are we? And like, why? Why does God think so highly of us? Why does God value people that he would love us enough to create us and love us enough to provide a way for us to be with him for eternity through Jesus Christ? What we do in life and what we experience matters to him. It matters to God. You matter so much to him. So if we matter so much to him, and he's created us in his image, then why does he allow us to go through hard things? Why does he allow us to experience difficulties and pain and suffering in our life? It was about a year ago this week where I had gone in for a CT scan after having some, I could tell something was not right in me. And I go in for a CT scan, and it was that morning, and I got a call late afternoon from my doctor, who at that time was vacationing, but he knew that he had to call me and to tell me that I had cancer. I had lymphoma. And many of you have walked that road of cancer. You're walking that road now, and you know how scary that is. And to get that diagnosis and to think to myself, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for my family? Just all the emotions. And asking God, what is it that you're doing? And then to begin to go through that and to begin to go through chemo and to begin to lose hair, to begin to lose weight. Many of you saw me as I was going through that. Many of you were there with me. Lost about 60 pounds in the course of just a few months. Wasn't able to keep much down. Went through four surgeries, four stays in the hospital, and all of that, just wondering, okay, God, what is it you're doing through this? And then to experience the things that come with cancer, to experience the neuropathy, the loss of feeling in my hands and in my feet, and the aches and pains, and feeling like I was much older than I was. No offense to those of you who are older than I am, but just to see the changes in me and the changes in my body, and to see the things that were happening in my life and the things that I wasn't able to do the way that I used to do them, from being with my family and experiencing things with my family to leading our students. It's been a very difficult year. And in that, wondering to myself, okay, God, what is it that you're trying to show me, and what is it that you're trying to tell me? And I shared with you guys that I grew up in a family where we loved Jesus, went to church. My dad was an incredible example to me. My dad had many health challenges in my life. In fact, I don't remember a time in my dad's life where there wasn't some kind of a health challenge. And my dad went to be with Jesus about 13 years ago, and I found a bookmark that had a verse on it that we had shared at his funeral, and God used it to just remind me. This is James chapter 1. Many of you are very familiar with this verse, but where James says to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God doesn't give us like things like cancer or sickness. Those aren't God's gifts to us. Those are the results of living in a fallen world, of a broken, a sinful world. But God does allow us to experience pain and suffering. And of course, we go through that. We go through things like cancer or sickness or death, and we ask that question, God, why? Or as Brother Gerald shared last week, God, what are you doing? Because sometimes it seems that the better question is, God, what are you not doing, right? We think we know a better explanation. We think we can write the better story. But God's story is always better. Even when we go through things that cause us to scratch our heads, that cause us to grieve, that cause us to mourn, that cause us to cry and to wonder, God, why? And he does, there's a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons, though, is that he wants us to be mature and complete. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to experience him and to know him deeper and more intimately than we ever could just by hearing someone else's story. By walking us through that and by allowing us to experience those things, we begin to be reminded of the things that we have read all of our lives, if we've grown up in church, and these things that we know God is, but then you live those things and you realize, okay, God, you are real. God, you are a healer. God, you are my strength. Because the best way for us to experience those things is to actually go through that and experience what God has for us. God wants to remind us that no matter what is going on in and around us, he's bigger. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than death. And he reminds us that we will overcome. That doesn't always mean that it's going to end the way that we think it will, but it means we will overcome, that death will not have the final say, that sickness will not have the final say. We are overcomers. And we will have the victory. Even if that victory looks like we are with Jesus. We leave our time on this earth and we're with Jesus. And what we sang about this morning, that when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I know death may scare us, right? It definitely has scared me in the last year. But to be reminded too that God, you know what you're doing. You're in control. You want to show me something. You want to grow me. You want to grow my family. But ultimately, however this ends, you are in charge and you are in control. And ultimately, I'm going to be with you anyway. And so if you want me here longer, that's great. I would love that. If you want me with you, that would be incredibly difficult. But Lord, I know that heaven is far better than what you have on this earth. And so asking those questions and realizing, okay, God, you're wanting to do something in me. And we think about these heroes that we've been reading about, or that we've heard about this morning, from Daniel to David to Moses. And to think that for a lot of these guys, they weren't elevated to the position that they were until they were older, until they had been through difficult things. Well, why? Well, because God had things that he was wanting to do in them to prepare them for bigger tasks. And the same is true for us. God desires that we be mature and complete, and there's something that he's wanting to do in us to maybe prepare us for something bigger down the road. I don't know. But I just know that God has a plan, and God is writing a story with my life and writing a story with your life, a story of who we are in him. But God is also wanting to tell a story of the church. God is also wanting to tell a story about who his church is. We have been in the book of Acts for the last several months, and I have been challenged as I've been hearing and reminded of these incredible stories of the early disciples and how, as the early church, they began to gather together, they began to pray. The disciples were tested in their faith, and part of that was them recognizing who they were in him. And so we see them coming together, and we see them praying together, and we see God doing incredible things. In Colossians chapter 1, the passage that we started out in, these next few verses, I want to share these with you, because in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, says that Jesus is the head of the body. So we've been made by him, for him, through him, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So we see the story of the early church, and we see how they're coming together, and we see how they're loving each other, and they're meeting needs. And we see the church exploding because God's Spirit was working in this early church. And again, we are blown away by these stories of Peter and John and the things that they did through the power of the Holy Spirit, but they were ordinary people just like us. They had a story that God was telling. God was wanting to tell the story of who he is, but also who the church is. And so God is doing these incredible things through the church. And by the way, God is still continuing his work through the church. We may not be the early church anymore, but God is still working in and through his church. And that is his plan to reach our world. 1 Corinthians, I want to share that this is an incredible passage that God showed me during this battle this last year. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. And Paul is talking in this passage, and he's sharing about the body of Christ and using the metaphor of a physical body. And so he says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That meant the world to me because I was seeing this church as well as previous churches I've served at. People would just say, hey, we are praying for you. Hey, we are here. The fact that you're hurting, we're hurting right alongside with you. And many, many of you have been so gracious to me and to my family over this last year to walk with us, to pray with us, to be there waiting during surgeries with us, to provide meals. You guys have been incredible. And I'm thankful for the opportunity this morning to be able to stand in front of you and to be able to thank you for being the church. We have seen an incredible picture. My family and I have seen an incredible picture of the story that God is wanting to tell through his church. I look at you and so many of your faces that have been encouragements to me over this last year and to my family. And I just want to say I'm grateful for you and to thank you for all that you've done. And so going back to that question of why do we have to go through these things? Why do we have to suffer? We talked about how God desires to grow us and to make us more mature and more complete, but I want to share another picture with you this morning that ties into the whole story of the church. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God." I want you all to see that for a second, because as God is telling the story of his church, and we have that question, why does our story have to be so dramatic, right? Why do we have to go through these hard things that are so difficult? And part of it, yes, is that God is wanting to grow us, but according to what he tells us in his word, look at what Paul says there. He comforts us in our troubles so that we will do what? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Why do we go through difficult things? Because God is wanting to use those difficult things in your story to encourage others who may be struggling. Those of you that have been through cancer have been an incredible encouragement to me in a way that only you could do, because you've been there and because you understand that. And it has done something in me where before I experienced cancer, I remember praying with many of you as you went into scans or were going through chemo or radiation. But I didn't understand in the way that I do now. And so I'm able to offer a different kind of encouragement because I've been through it. Why does God allow us to go through difficult things? Why is our story so dramatic? Well, in it, God is wanting to grow you, but he's also wanting to use you to tell his story to others who may be going through the same thing that you've been through, who may be going through the same thing right now that you've been through. And God wants to use you and use your story to give encouragement to help them to understand that you will make it through this. Even if it may not end the way that you want it to end, God is bigger, and God is going to use it, and God is going to use you. So we see the story of how God is working through the church. God is working in us, and God is working through the church. As you go through the challenges of life, as you deal with heartache, know that the Lord is close to you. He's close to the brokenhearted. And he's close to you in this time. He comforts you in this time so that you can be able to offer that same comfort. And think about it. For people that may not even know Christ, and they're going through a difficult thing, and you can share, maybe you've been through that same difficult thing, but you share the reason for the hope that you have, and they ask you, how are you able to get through this? That's your opportunity to share the writer of your story, and that God is telling a story through you and in you. God is also wanting to tell a story about who he is, which will ultimately lead to his glory. The last part of Colossians chapter 1, verses 19, 20. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. When you start your prayers, when you start your day by praying to God, how do you typically start your prayers? Hopefully, if you don't do this, this is a great opportunity to learn to do this. But as Jesus started the Lord's Prayer, he started by praising God for who he was. He started by praising God for his characteristics rather than jumping right into prayer and saying, okay, God, I need you to do this. I need you to make this happen for me. We start our prayers by praising God for who he is. Well, how do we get to know who he is? Do we get to know who he is based on what people have told us, based on what Scripture has told us? Yes. But also, as we go through these things, we begin to see God in a personal way that we never could have before. God wants us to know him. He wants us to know his peace and his power and his presence so that we can connect with him. But he also wants to use those things and to use our relationship with him to be able to share the story of who he is with others. Your story, the story that you have, it may be different from mine. There may be some similarities, but your story that you have, the story of your life, is the most powerful tool that you have to be able to share. And what do I mean by that? You're saying it's more powerful than Scripture? No, of course I'm not saying that, right? Because we know that God's Word is living and active. We know that God's Word is able to do things that we can't do, but God works in our stories because, you think about it, people can debate Scripture, they can argue about different points about God, but what can they not argue with? They can't argue with your story because that is what you've been through. They can't deny that. The story of God working in your life, people can't argue that. And that's why our story is so powerful and why God continues to keep us here on this earth, why the story of the church continues, because God's kingdom, he's wanting people to come to know him, and he's left us here for a reason and a purpose, and it's not just to pay bills, it's not just to get through life, it's not just to get our kids to college and hopefully they'll give us grandkids, right? The goal and the purpose of life is to glorify God and honor him, and to let people know the difference that he has made. And we are God's primary plan to get the gospel to the people that need to hear it. That's the very last thing Jesus told us in the Great Commission. He says, I'm leaving, you're staying, right? I'm leaving, but I'm giving you my power to go and to make disciples of all nations. I want you to go and I want you to share the story of who I am and to share what I've done. And that story continues with us. Even though Scripture has been written, God's story is not over. God's story is being told through the individual stories of our lives. Now, maybe you don't think your story is very interesting, right? Maybe you hear my story and you definitely don't wish for the drama, right? But maybe you have your own drama. Maybe you've been through very difficult things. Or maybe you feel like, yeah, you know, people aren't, they don't really care to hear my story, or my story's boring, or I wish I had his story, or I wish I had her story, right? I wish I had someone else's story. And church family, that is not how it works. God has given you your story for a purpose and for a reason. And because you're around people that I'm not, and they don't need to hear my story, they need to hear your story. Because you are close to them. You do life with them. You know them. Yes, can they be encouraged by someone they don't know? Sure, absolutely. But who is going to make the biggest difference? The people that are doing life with them. The people that are walking through that with them. When we begin to think of our lives as a part of God's story and that we were made in Him and for Him, it changes our perspective. It takes the focus off of ourselves and it puts it on the one who should receive the focus anyway. See, my life is not about me, and your life is not about you. I know it gets hard, right? And I know it's hard because we do feel the weight of this world, and we do feel the challenge. We feel that. But our story, God is telling a better story than we ever could. And if we will have that perspective that, okay, God, I'm going through this because there's something that you are wanting to do. Maybe when you bring me through this, I'll be able to talk about how you have brought me through this and you're the one that has done this. Maybe. But ultimately, the story is about making sure that God's glory is famous. I talked earlier about the things that we strive for. And why do we strive for those things in life? You know, why is it that when you're in middle school or high school, you desire to be known and popular? And why is it that even as we get into our adult years, we still want to be known, and we want people to know who we are, and we want to be significant. We want to feel like we've accomplished something. But is it because we want to feel good about ourselves? Or is it because we want to use what God has done in our lives to give Him greater glory? Over the last couple of years, my family has, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Forrest Frank, but he is a Christian artist. In fact, he won the couple of Dove Awards this year for the Artist of the Year, as well as Pop Song of the Year. But he decided about a couple of weeks before the Dove Awards happened last week that he wasn't going. Like, he was up for all of these awards, but he wasn't going to be there. And here's what he said. He said, I'm dealing with some conviction here. He says, I don't feel right accepting a trophy for something from Jesus and for Jesus. I've already received the true trophy by being in the Book of Life and not a medal award on a stage. Every name will fade away, including mine, except for one name, the name of Jesus. I love that. Now, if that were me and I was up for these awards, would I go to the awards show, right? And he's not saying that you're wrong to choose to accept those awards, but what he's saying is, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this for my story to make myself famous? Or is my life about giving God glory, realizing that I've already gotten the best trophy I could get anyway? And we need to live that same way, being reminded that, okay, God, I'm humbly here, I'm your child, and I'm here living out the story that you have for me. Your story, God, is so much better than any story that I could ever tell. And we think about that sometimes, right? Think, if I were writing this story, I would do this. I would make it look a little bit different. I'm going to add some drama here, but not drama where I'm going through anything hard, like not that, but just other kind of drama, right? We want to be able to tell the story, but God says, let me handle this. Let me write the story of your life. Going back to Christian music, there is a song out there that Matthew West and Micah Tyler wrote, and it's called My Story, His Glory. I just want to share some of these words with you. It says, all of me, all for you. Let all that I say and all that I do point to the one who changed my life, and let me speak the legacy I leave behind. My story, your glory. My pain, your purpose. My mess, your message. In all things, I know you're working. One life, one mission, one reason why I'm living. all for you and not for me. My story, your glory. And now my story is living proof that there's not a chapter that you can't use. Church family, there is not a chapter of your story that God cannot use. Your mess can become his message. The things that you're going through, your story can be used for his glory. This morning I want to ask you, what is your story? If you were to share with someone the story of what God has done in your life, what would it look like? What would you talk about? What chapters would you highlight? You know, if you've ever seen someone post something about, this event was one for the books. Like, what book are you talking about? Like, who's keeping books of all the events that you've gone through, right? But the fact of the matter is, the book of life, we're in that as believers, but there's also the story that God is telling through your life. And as long as you're here, and as long as you're sitting in that pew and you're breathing, your story is not done yet. You may feel like you're over that hill and you're in your waning years, or you may feel as a kid or a teenager that what is God going to do with me? Know that your story is not over, and your story matters, and your story has a purpose. I remember my last surgery. I went in on a Wednesday, and I woke up on a Friday. I was like, what? I've been told that I had been through three surgeries in those days where there was a tear in my abdomen, and the doctors went in. I'd gone septic. They had tried to find it. Tried once, couldn't find it. Okay, we'll try again tomorrow. Tried a second time, still couldn't find it. We'll try tomorrow. Third day, tried to find it. It's not there. Like, where did that tear go? Like, what happened? Well, we believe that God worked a miracle. And my wife, who's been so incredible in all of this, to encourage me and to challenge me and to just to be there with me, she said, Matt, you're still here. God is obviously not done with you. Church family, you're still here. God is obviously not done with you and with me. He has a story that he's wanting to tell, a story of who he is in you, a story of who this church is, and the big church, the body of believers worldwide, but also the greater story of who he is and the story of his glory. And God wants to use you and wants to use your story. Continue to let him write it. And as you go through things, understand that God is not going to waste that hurt. God is not going to waste that pain. He is using that so that you can know him. He's using that so that you can encourage others going through that. And he's using it to remind you that he is bigger. And he will be glorified. He will be glorified no matter what we go through. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to say thank you, God, for being bigger than all the things that we go through. And God, we want to say thank you, Lord, for the story that you are writing. The story that began with you creating us and you making us in your image with purpose. You making us, Lord, personally. You making us uniquely. Each and every one of us are different, and we have a different story of what you are wanting to do. And we bring our stories together as the church to be able to share with this world just how incredible you are. The fact that you have a story that you are wanting to tell with humanity and with your creation. The fact that you're telling a story in Scripture of these men and women who've done incredible, miraculous things, but they did those things because the power of the Holy Spirit worked in them, and that power of the Holy Spirit is still at work today and still using ordinary people like me. God, why? Why would you want to use me? Why would you want to use us? God, we may not fully understand the answer to that question, but Lord, when we stop and realize that you care enough about us to want to use us, and that you want to continue that story where we are experiencing who you are in us and we're experiencing all that you have for us. God, we bring our stories to you this morning and we say we trust you with them. God, you are a better storyteller than we are. And you know, God, what you want to do and how you want to use our story, even when we may be dumbfounded and confused and hurting and grieving. As we experience maybe the death of a loved one or a sickness, God, knowing that you're using that in us, you're going to use us to encourage others. But Lord, you also remind us that you're not done, and you're not done with us. We're still here, and we're still here for a purpose and a reason. And that reason is to share your story. Lord, to be living proof of who you are to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Church family, as we're about to go into time of invitation, with your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, I want you to think about your life story. Again, you may not think it's that interesting. Or again, maybe you think it's so long and detailed and dramatic that no one's going to want to hear it. Whatever the case may be, you understand that you're here because God wanted you to be here in this time and this place for a purpose. And he has a story that he is writing out for you. And that story is going to be what he uses to reach people who may not listen to Scripture, who may want to debate and argue, but your story has value and significance. This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just thank God for writing a better story than you ever could? And thank him that he is the master of it all and that he is not done with you. Even when you may feel like you want to give up, God says, no, I have you here for a reason and for a purpose. And I'm wanting to tell a story in you and a story through you. This morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you this morning that the God who is writing your story wants you to know the price that he paid for you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to give us a better story, a story that ends with us experiencing eternity with him. And if you've never placed your faith in Christ this morning, we want to invite you to do that. We want to invite you to say, hey, I don't understand what God's doing, but I know that he's stirring in my heart and I know I need Jesus. How can I do that this morning? Tell me how to do that. Show me how to do that. Our staff would love to be able to help you with that. Father God, we pray that you would show us in these next few moments, God, what it is you want us to do. Maybe who it is that you want us to share our story with. Maybe just to stop and thank you and to praise you for the things that you've done in our lives and the fact that you have allowed us to overcome. We're still here and you still have something you're wanting to do in us and through us. Thank you for that, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.